You are listening to a message from Victory. We hope it inspires you to honor God and make disciples in your community.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. I appreciate Pastor Mark and his leadership and his desire to be used of God wherever he is needed. And I really appreciate it's actually more of Rizel, but kasama na rin si Pastor Mark. Rizel and Pastor Mark, they've been together. I've known him since they were students. Nakilala na po natin. Yung picture kanina, nakita nyo naman, di ba? Naka-pink kami ni Pastor Mark with the map of the world at our back, way back in the 80s. And I'm glad to be here with you. Thriving, growing corporately and personally. And today I'd like to highlight one of our core values, and this is our way of telling us na ganito po ka-importante ang ating mga pamilya. I'm not just talking about our spiritual family, though we put a premium on that one, but I'm talking about our biological family, our brothers and sisters, and our siblings, our parents, in our own homes. And who among you here, Pastor Mark already asked, the married ones, would you please raise your hands again? All right. So once again, thank you. This message is for you, and I hope this message would inspire you tonight. Now, who among you here are engaged? Would you please raise your hands? You're engaged. Make sure alam na, wala, no? Walang engaged dito? Dapat dito maraming engaged. 7 o'clock, di ba? Last full show. But you know what? If you're, siguro you're not raising your hands because the other person is not aware of it yet. Now I know the reason. Okay, I understand, you know? I understand. If you are a teenager or a student, college, university, would you please raise your hands? All right. Okay, now this message is for you too. This message is for you. And I've heard messages on family, raising your family, since I was a student. And Pastor Steve made sure that we're able to hear that when we were students, so that when we start growing older and have our own families, we have enough foundation to encourage us to have the courage, confidence to step out in faith and build our own families as well. And so he has done that. That's why it has become one of our core values. You see now? Now, by the way, the reason why Pastor Mark, I think, invited me is because I'm more of an exhibit A of since 1984. I've come to know Christ when I was 18. Yung picture ng rock and roll doon, yan, yun. That was me right there, yung na-circle doon. Ako po yun. June of 1984, I was 18 years old, a member of a fraternity. It was rainy season. I was wearing my black vest jacket. I had a stripe shirt and wearing my 501. I'm still wearing my 501. This is newer, okay? But I got my 501 then, waist 29. Don't ask my waist now. Okay, so, but that was me. Long hair, came forward, gave my life to Christ. And as soon as I've come forward, somebody stood alongside me and challenged me to get baptized the same night. And I got baptized the same night. They brought us to a swimming pool. And as soon as I got out of the water, I started speaking in tongues, speaking in languages I couldn't understand. I thought it was a language from Iceland, because it was so cold when I got baptized. And so imagine I got born again that night, baptized in water that night, filled with the Holy Ghost that night, and then the same night they had to explain to me what happened. Nowadays, they explain to us first before we do it, right? During that time, we do it first, then they explain after. And so it was like a real wind that night. It's a one package deal. I did not bring my own shorts for the baptism. Somebody lent me their shorts. It's an American size shorts. So it was so large. You know, I was so thin then. If I go sideways, you can't see me anymore. But they lent me these shorts, so I was holding on to my dear life. Could you imagine? We were walking at the lobby of the hotel half naked, as if we're ugly duckling about to be slaughtered. And we got baptized, and it was amazing package deal that night. The next day is my first Christian worship service. I was told to bring my Bible. So I brought, I'm sure you had one also. I brought my blue Gideon's Bible. What's the color of your Gideon's Bible? See, I got mine, blue. And I got it, I put it at the exacto dito sa 501 sa likod. And then I put it here and went to my first Christian service. I went to the lobby back to that hotel. And they approached me and so on and so forth, helped me, did one-to-one with me. And I attended my first worship service. And while I was in the first, do you remember your first time to attend a Christian service like this? You attend and then instead of you're watching the people do worshiping. Some of them, when I was there, some of them I was watching, they were weeping. Men were crying or sweating. I mean, while worshiping God. So I was mesmerized. I couldn't even raise my hands because I was so entertained by what I was seeing. My first worship service. And then you sit down, somebody's preaching, and the guy is talking to you. And you're wondering, who told him about me? Who told him about me? Have you experienced that? Well, guess what? I'm going to be speaking to you because somebody told me about you, the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. It was such an experience. And since we're talking about family today, I want to introduce to you my family. Yes, I'm married, already taken. And I met her. I came to know Christ June. She came to know Christ July of 1984. You know, during that time, dates are important. I'm June. What about yours? I'm July, but I'm June. So medyo ano kami noon eh. Very, you know. But my wife came to know Christ July. She used to be from Philippine Normal College University now. And she's the one in the middle. She's not my daughter. She's my wife, okay? Okay, she's my wife. And I still wonder 23 years later why she married me. I don't know why. You know, I only have one thing in my mind. Maybe because I'm tall, dark, and darker. I couldn't think of any reason, other reason why. So when I get home tonight, I'll ask her again why she married me. But anyways, the far right lady there is my daughter. She's now 22 years old. She's really my daughter because no choice. She really looked like me. So anyways... And Elizabeth is journalism in UP Diliman. And amazing things that the Lord has done in her life for the last, for the first 12 years of her life, she's the only solo daughter. Then after 12 years and 12 days, my son came. His name is John Philip. He was born with a special need, but the joy of our hearts every day. That's John Philip. And so that's my family, and amazingly, last week, my daughter was assigned to collect blogs from Lifebox people to put it under the Lifebox, our youth ministry portal or website. So she's the one collecting while there's no classes in UP, so that's her job. I think next week may pasok na, August. And so she has written her own blog, and she basically mentioned some things about lessons she has learned from her teacher. And that her teacher was no other than me. That's me right there. And she's my daughter, six years old. And I like that the title is Take Charge, because apparently it imprinted that word take charge in her heart when she was growing up. Every time I would send her to school, okay, ako driver, I'd bring her to school, high school, elementary, high school. I would always pray for her and then tell her, Elizabeth, you lead your classmates. Lead your classmates to righteousness. If there's a classmate who's being bullied, I want you to come to their rescue. If you have a classmate who needed a piece of paper and she forgot, lend her your piece of paper. If there's a classmate who's hungry, share your cookies. you know, I've taught her how to serve. Hindi yung pasimuno ng kababalaghan. Di ba? May mga bata, pasimuno ng kababalaghan. But I taught her how to be a leader and leading her classmate to righteousness. So after we pray, she leaves the car and I say, Elizabeth, take charge. So I would do that without fail, almost every single day. And I've never realized that it imprinted a sense of trust in her heart that she is the leader, that she can take charge. And every time there's a time to volunteer, she would always raise her hand because she knew God called her to be a leader, to take charge. And I realized it works, that this is not just a theory or a dream. It could work. And so I would like you to visit that, read her blog, last week, a short blog. But it encouraged me to share this message to let you know that the gospel works not only in the world, but even in our own living rooms. The gospel works. Tell the person next to you, the gospel works. And so that's our title today. I love my family. And we're going to look at the passages of the scripture from the book of Hebrews. Say Hebrews. It's still a debate who wrote Hebrews. But one thing I discover about Hebrews, that God drinks coffee because he brews, right? No, okay, let's move on. Some of you didn't get it. Okay. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Only one verse. We'll dissect it into three, and we'll find our point somewhere there. But it says, by faith. Say, by faith. The book of Hebrews mentioned about the flood, because by faith Noah. The book of Peter, the two letters of Peter, mention about the great deluge, the flood. Jesus himself in Matthew 24 made reference to the flood. So if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. I believe that truly, in human history, the flood came. Well, every geologist, anthropologist, and archaeologist would tell you that truly there was a great deluge that had happened in human history. Up to now, they are still baffled seeing fossils on top of the Alps in Europe. So you could see everywhere around the world, scientists would agree that truly there was a great deluge that had happened in the past. And so that's what we're talking about today. It was so real, it became a movie last time. Who among you watched the movie Noah? Who among you weren't able to watch the movie? Raise your hands. Okay, don't you worry, you didn't miss anything. I was forced to watch it last month when I went to the States. Pal yung sinakyan ko, so may monitor sa harap mo, di ba? Nakaupo ka ng ilang 16 hours, di ba? And then my monitor, andun yung Noah. So kinlik ko na rin. So I was able to watch it. I was so entertained and got inis at the same time. Ano ba English ng inis, bro? Asar. But Alin's like, what is happening here? The director was trying to be creative to the point na yung movie katawa-tawa na. Okay? Why? Because I've studied Genesis for one semester in a theological seminary, and when I saw it, it was just funny. Okay? And it's so far from the truth. But today we're going to look at a certain portion of the flood story so that we can see how a person like Noah was able to obey the Lord by faith and spared his family from the great deluge. And I'm sharing this because during his time, the people were in apathy, as what Jesus described the world during that time. Jesus said in Matthew that during the time of Noah, people were eating and drinking and giving in marriage. There's nothing wrong with eating and drinking and giving into marriage, but it's another term for apathy. Say apathy. They were just so concerned about themselves, they've forgotten other things. Apathy. Not only that, but in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, in comparison to verse 5, we see there's a great apostasy, wickedness. During those days when the flood came, we'll go to Genesis 6. In Genesis 6, the Spirit of the Lord cannot contend with man forever because the man's heart is filled with wickedness. And his years is just going to be 120 years. The next verse there, verse 13, and God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end to all the of all the flesh, for the earth is filled with violence. Not only that there was a great apostasy, but there was a great anarchy. Violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. There was apathy, there was anarchy, there was apostasy. What a picture of what of our even of our world today. But one thing is for sure, the Lord says, take heart, I'm not going to destroy the earth anymore with water. In fact, that is a promise. And every time you see a rainbow, it will remind you of my promise that I'm not going to destroy the earth anymore with water. Kundi, fire na lang next time. You read your Bible? He said the next time around, it's going to be by fire. But anyways, but I believe the picture of what had happened before, we see the picture of what's happening today. Here's Noah with so much respect from those closest around him because they all listened to him. But those outside of his family, he was the least respected. He preached for 120 years. Nobody listened to him. Nobody repented of their sins. Nobody tried to follow him inside the ark except pairs of animals. Buti pa yung mga hayop marunong makinig. Yung mga tao nun talagang profligate na talaga. Talagang heart nila, talagang wickedness na, and anarchy and apathy. They don't care anymore. And so, and yet he was least respected outside, but most respected inside. I like that in some ways. But on the other side of the coin, there was a man of God, as righteous as he was, by the name of Lot. Remember Lot? Lot was a righteous man. In 2 Peter, it was mentioned there three times. as if rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked. And of for as that righteous man lived among them day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul. See, the word righteous was mentioned three times. Over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. We're not talking about the righteous people and the wicked people. We're talking about righteousness. Both of them, Noah and Lot, were both righteous. But the only difference is this. Lot was respected the most by the people in the world. In fact, the next verse here, we found out that he was one of the leaders in the gate. Elders in the gate. When the Bible says elders in the gate, we're talking about, in our terms today, it's like a senator, like a congressman without pidaf. Okay? But during that time, he was so well respected by the people around him and yet least respected by the closest people around him. Who are they? His loved ones. In fact, when he told his loved ones that the Lord is going to destroy the twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, the sons-in-law thought he was just jesting. There's another verse here to show you that word. You see the last word? Jesting. In other words, they thought that Daddy Lot was just joking. So the in-laws were not listening. Oh, the Lord is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But they thought, hey, he was just joking. He was least respected. And so when he ran away and the angel pulled them away, only his wife and two daughters followed him, but his other loved ones did not follow him because they thought he was just joking. No respect. So when they were running away, his wife remembered probably the recipe that she has prepared for years. Said she has forgotten. Do you know I discovered Mrs. Lot's first name? Her name is Pilar. Because she became Pillar of Salt, you see. That's another corny joke. But let's move on. I mean, she was running and then she looked back. And the Bible says she has become a Pillar of Salt. Mrs. Lot became Pillar of Salt because her heart belongs to Sodom and Gomorrah. And so the ones who were only spared was Noah and the two daughters. I mean, Lot and the two daughters. That's another story. But my point is this. Both of them were righteous, but the other one has a messed up family life. This is my word for each and every one of us today. You can be serving God today, but it is possible for you to have a messed up family life. That's why we made this as one of our core values, because we believe that it is possible by faith for you to become successful in your family life. Who among you here, you want to be successful in your family life? Come on now, by faith, hallelujah. That's why we are here. That's why we put this as one of our core values 30 years later. And I think just as Noah, from Adam to Noah, 10 generations, and the hearts of men has been permeated by wickedness, so the Lord has to kill all the people all over the world and spare only one family of 8. A family propagated the next generation of mankind. I believe what would propagate us to the next generation and the generation 100 years from now of people in victory will also be our families. If we will just believe God by faith that He too can give us a family that can glorify God, I believe we'll be able to springboard this movement to the next 100 years, next generations of victory people who are on fire for God, because they were not only the ones who came to know Christ through that generation, but even to our own children and the children of our children's children. Amazing. Amen? Now, as we dive into the passage of Scripture, the Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned, say warned. There are 3 elements in order for us to have the faith to believe God for the salvation of our families. The Scripture is packed with hope and promises regarding salvation of families. The devil hates salvation families, salvation of families. He hates it to the core because he has seen it in the life of Noah. So he hates it. But in the book of Acts, time and again, families and households will get to know Christ Jesus. If one person will get to know Christ, he felt the call to bring the entire household to get saved. Cornelius was one of them. Chapter 11 of Acts. Chapter 16, we had Lydia, who is a businesswoman of linen, purple linens. If you are an exporter of purple linens during that time, you get to serve the richest and the royalties. He must have been like Gucci owner or like a Giorgio Armani owner of the fashion icon during that time with international business. And she has come to know Christ, and the Bible says, with her entire household. The jailer was the same thing in Acts 16, came to know Christ, and then the entire household got baptized that day. Amazing. People in the Bible are like Filipinos. We want to be together all the time. Fellowship tayo dito after the service. On the way, fellowship ulit tayo sa foyer. Papunta sa parking, nagfe-fellowship pa rin tayo doon. Some of you, papunta sa pila ng FX, nagfe-fellowship pa rin. Because we're Filipinos, we're highly community, highly inclusive. Kakain ka na lang, tatawagin mo pa yung stranger sa daan. Kain po tayo, kahit hindi mo kilala, right? And that's just the way we are. And people in the Bible are like us. They're very inclusive. So even salvation, they bring the entire household. Amazing. And that's the Lord's promise. And so how can this happen? Well, number one, the element of the Word of God. We have to have the Word of God. The Bible says, when warned by the coming deluge, when being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, they've never seen flood, they've never seen rain, they've never seen springs or water gusting out of earth. They've never seen lightning. They've never seen a boat. And yet, out of that warning, Noah obeyed God, responded to the word of God. If you are a man today, if you are 13 and above, if you are a father today, your leadership will be tested on how much you value the Word of God. This will make and give substance to your leadership. The Word of God. Make this a priority in your life. This is my priority. There are times when I would have long runs on the weekend. I would wake up 2 o'clock because we're going to run 30, 40 in Clark. So we have to, from Pasig, we have to ride our transportation to go there. So we have to wake up 2 o'clock. I know I don't have any time to read my Bible, but I'll just change, get my bag, get into that car, and then I get my friends in the car, including the driver. I'll put my iPad in the middle and I'll click audio of the Bible. And I said, okay, guys, on our way to Clark, we're going to listen to the Word. So including the driver, nakikipakinig na rin. And we would listen to the Word of God, and we prioritize the Word of God. That is very crucial in our leadership as men. Say amen, all the women here. Amen. And some of you single, amen, Lord, for me. Amen. Amen. Okay, now, the Word of God. What else? Number two, the Word of God. Number two, the fear of God. Next part of the verse, it says, in reverent fear, constructed an ark. Out of the fear of the Lord, he acted. Now, some theologians would try to decipher and define the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the divine dread. You know, however you might want to define it, the book of Proverbs would easily define fear of the Lord as in connection to wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. We hear that over and over again in the book of Proverbs. But what about in this verse? The fear of the Lord is connected to obedience. It says, in reverent fear, he constructed the ark, because that's the Lord's instruction to him in chapter 7. In Genesis chapter 6. He was commanded to build an ark. And he heard the warning. He'll send a deluge, a flood. So he said, build an ark. So he started building an ark. As in obedience to the Word of God, out of the fear of the Lord, he built it so that he can save his family. We move on to the next. So that's the fear of the Lord. Say fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord equals obedience. Could you imagine 120 years of obedience, building the ark? His life of obedience is even longer than the lifespan of some of the people during that time. Because of the violence, maybe some of them would only live for 40 years. And their lifespan is even shorter compared to the years of his life of obedience, 120 years. Let's move on to the next. The third element, besides the Word of God, the fear of the Lord, is the grace of God. The grace of God. Next part of the verse, it says, by this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. I want you to know that righteousness came by faith, comes by faith, is because, not because he obeyed the Lord's, therefore he was righteous, he became righteous. No, he was righteous, then he made the ark. How did that happen? Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. In King James Version, let's all read this together. Ready, go. But Noah, the first ever that the word grace was mentioned in the Bible is in this verse. In King James Version. NIV Version, ESV Version says the favor of God. But the real meaning of that favor is grace. Could you imagine, before he even obeyed the word to construct an ark, he has already received the grace of God. And when the grace of God was there, then the Lord acknowledged righteousness in his life in verse 1 of chapter 7, after this chapter. Verse 7:1, then the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark and all of your household, you and your household, for I have seen that you are what? Not because of his own merit, but because, remember, of verse 8, chapter 6, the grace of God. righteous before me in this generation. Today we're righteous because of the blood of Christ on that cross 2,000 years ago. Ephesians 2 verse 8, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God. It's a gift. It's not something that you have earned. The favor of God. Humong here, gusto mong mapuspos ng favor ni Lord sa buhay mo. Raise hands. Lord, here we are. That's the cry of our hearts. And every parent who's here today, I want to let you know, raising your children is still by the grace of God. We're still hoping, Lord, we will do what you've asked us to do. But at the end of the day, Lord, do you know that your children do whatever you need to do, raise them up in the ways of the Lord. But when they reach a certain age, at one point, there's a possibility of them to follow the path of the world or still follow the path that their parents started, the path of righteousness. There are people like that in reality today. They've done their best. And still, when the children start growing up, they still chose the other path. And there's no problem about it. Don't condemn yourself. Continue to just to pray for them. Because I'm telling you, parenting is by the grace of God. Here's Eli, a man of God. And yet, when he saw the wickedness of his sons, he didn't do anything about it. He was rebuked by the Lord sternly, harshly. The Lord did not even speak to him. The Lord has to speak to a young Samuel to tell Samuel how bad a father he was. And the curse of God will be upon Samuel, will be upon Eli, that his sons are going to die young. Could you imagine that? The Lord was so angry because he didn't do anything about the wickedness of his sons. What about Samuel? Do you know that Samuel was a father too? And his sons, according to the people during that time, were also wicked. But the Lord was silent about rebuking Samuel regarding his sons. Theologians are saying the reason why the Lord was silent and he didn't rebuke Samuel, because he was a great dad. But the children decided to choose the path of wickedness. And I said, nananayubalahibo ko ngayon. I was just thinking, oh God, spare our children, Lord. I claim your promise in Proverbs. Raise up a child in the way he should go, so that when he grows up, he will not depart from it. So we pray. That's why we have family time prayer with my family. For 12 years, Elizabeth would pray with the three of us almost every night. And we would pray and pray for Lola, Lolo, Tito, Tita. We pray for relatives. We pray for whoever she can remember. Today is John Philip leading the prayer. Praying for Lola, Lolo, Ate, Kuya. I mean, we would pray together, because I know raising your family is still by faith, by the grace of God. Umong here, you want to rely on the grace of God. You do your part, but you rely on the grace of God. Come on now. Lord, we want to rely on the grace of God. As I end today, let me give you a glimpse of most of the priorities of our pastors here in Victory. I heard this from Pastor Steve, and this is also my conviction. When I got married, my wife and I agreed with this, that this is going to be our priority. It's been our priority the last 23 years. First, our priority is our relationship with Jesus. When I see my wife read her Bible, even today in the morning, I would let her and don't even mind her. I would let her read her Bible and communicate to her Lord. There are times the week is so full, and it's already in the afternoon, and she would take the time to go to a corner and read her Bible. And I'd see her there, and I'd look at her, and she looked at me and says, Ferdy, would you please take care of your son? I've been having a hard time having my own personal quiet time this week. So from the office, sometimes I'll just take my son and walk along the village while she's spending time with her Lord. Because I know Jesus is number one in her life. And she knows number one in my life is Jesus. And my number two is my wife, Judy. And I'm number two to her list. You know what? She'll be so insecure if she's my number one and number two is Jesus. You're going to have a problem of a marriage. Make sure your number one is Jesus. Your wife will be more secure to know that Jesus is your boss. Number one, number two, your wife, your commander. No, your wife is, you know, number two. Then number three is your children, Elizabeth and John Philip. Elizabeth knows that. John Philip knows that. Sometimes I forget, my wife would remind me. You've not had date with your daughter for a long time. So I'm going to go to the States next month for a week. I'm going to have a date with my daughter, with my son, for the next few days before I leave. Because I know I'm going to be out for a week. That's very crucial. And I put that in our calendar. I have a calendar for work, but I have a calendar for family. And it's very crucial. So that's number three, my children. Number four is me being a pastor. So in other words, in the list of Pastor Mark, in the list of our pastors here, you're only number four. Yep, only number four. Now, if you are number one in the list of Pastor Mark, I'm telling you right now, find another church. You're going to have a problem in this church if you are number one in the list of the pastor. Are you here with me? Whom are you? You're glad you're only number four in the pastor's list. Come on now. Come on, come on. Are you really glad? Make sure you're glad, because if Jesus is not number one and you're number one in his life, we're going to have a pastor who is idolatrous. Idolatrous. Idolizing the church. How many pastors are like that? But let me tell you this. Where you are number four, the people in Ortigas that I pastor, they are aware that they're only number four in my list. Number five is my ultra running. I run because I can. It's number five, number six sometimes, number 10 if I forget, but I go back to number five. But nevertheless, number four is ministry. Some of you here today, your work is number one or number two. I'm telling you tonight, it's time for work to be number four. And number one, Jesus. Number two, your wife. Number three, your children. Number four, your work. Come on now, let's give a lot of praise for that. I was sharing this morning in Green Hills. I was there, and we have a lot of Chinese businessmen. After the service, some of them are doing this to me. Some of our leaders, they were laughing, Pastor, that's a tough sermon. Number four, business, Pastor. Yep, that message is for you too. And I'd like you to know, if you do that, the Lord's going to bless you. Let me tell you this. Do not sacrifice your family at the altar of success. You don't do that. You don't sacrifice your family at the altar of success. Never. You can never compensate. Never compensate. Your failure, no amount of success in the world can compensate your failure at home. Let me say that again. No amount of success in ministry in the world can compensate with the failures you have at home. I heard this morning, Pastor Mark, that one of the reasons, I have to research it after, but one of the reasons why Steve Jobs allowed others to write things about him is because he said, I wanted my children to know the impact of what I did in the world. Why is he doing that? Maybe because he doesn't have any time for his children. That's why he's just saying, okay, let them read what I did so that they will appreciate. No. Don't let them read that after your death. Date your children now. Relate with your children. And spend time with them. I want to pray a prayer of faith right now. Some of you've come from broken homes. And I would like to pray by faith that the Lord would bring turnaround situations in your family. Some of you here, you have a mother-daughter problem in your relationship, or son, father, or father, daughter, or among siblings, and you needed reconciliation and restoration in your family, I want you to bow down your heads right now. And if that's you and you're saying that, Pastor, I'm praying for reconciliation, restoration of relationship in my family, I want you to raise your hands. Raise your hands right now. By faith, like Noah. Oh, Father God, you see these hands. Lord, the swords. Lord God, the breakups is not necessarily the problem out there, but it's inside our house, our homes. And I pray right now that you bring about solution. Let the gospel penetrate. It's in others. It's in every member of the household's hearts. Lord, so that, Lord, that we become catalysts of change and reconciliation in our household. Lord, you see these hands. Lord, some of them, you're going to restore the relationship back with their fathers. Some of them, they're going to restore relationship back with their mothers. Some of them with the siblings. Some of them, they run away as much as they can. Some of their loved ones are abroad. And they think that proximity and geography will heal the hearts. But Lord, they realize even though the relative is abroad, the wounds is getting deeper and deeper in their hearts. But Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray healing, Lord, to come forth in Jesus' name, Lord. We ask for these hands being raised that you hear the cries of their hearts by faith. You can put down your hands. If you're here, you're saying, Pastor, my dream is someday my loved ones will be worshiping with me here in this church. Someday, my daughter, my son, or my parents, my mother, my father, my siblings will be worshiping with me. If that's your heart and that's your dream, the Bible says, if you believe in me, you and my household, your household will be saved. If that's you, I want you to raise your hands. You have a loved one you're praying for, and you're saying they're not serving the Lord yet, but you're dreaming that someday they'll be seated next to you in church. Oh, Father, we want to pray right now and claim that promise in Acts 16:31. If we believe, we'll be saved together with our household. So, Lord, we pray for every father, every mother, every sister, brother, kuya, ate, to get to know Christ as you use these men and women as the bringer of hope and the gospel in their homes. Right now, some of them, Lord, there are 5 more months to go this year. Some of them, before December ends, they'll start coming to church already. Some of them, Lord, will come to know Christ early first quarter of next year. Some of them, 2015 is going to be a family breakthrough for some of them. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we prophesy salvation of loved ones. In fact, this is what I want to do. You can put down your hands. I'm going to give you 30 seconds quietly with only the keyboard, quietly to mention verbally your loved one's names. I'm giving you 30 seconds. You can do it now and pray and intercede. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.